Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivana, Communications Director for the City Council. On this week's show, we begin with Columbus City Council members and Mayor Michael B. Coleman announcing the proposed 2013 City of Columbus Capital Improvements Budget, which includes a combined $65 million for resurfacing over the next 2 years, a record $32 million this year, plus $33 million in 2014. The proposal, which consists of $379 million in new funding for neighborhood projects, also includes $4.7 million for the Maryland Swimming Pool on the Near East Side. The Maryland Pool will be transformed into a state-of-the-art swimming pool and attraction with new slides, a spray ground feature, and other modern amenities in time for the 2014 swimming season. The unprecedented investment in resurfacing will improve more than 145 lane miles of roadway, with more than 30 miles of alleys, bringing the total resurfacing investment since 2010 to more than $110 million. The capital improvements budget also includes $8.7 million for bikeway development, including 107 Sharrow pavement markings, 49 Bike Boulevard pavement markings, and 1.7 miles of shared use paths. The proposal also includes more than $5 million for pedestrian safety improvements that include nearly 8 miles of sidewalks. Here's Council President Andrew J. Ginther.
The proposed capital budget is an investment in our collective future and key to our continued success. Today is the beginning of Council's capital budget process. Council will work with the mayor to pass a capital budget that will strengthen neighborhoods and help create an environment for businesses to grow. By investing in our city's infrastructure, we are investing in our shared quality of life, making it easier for existing businesses to succeed and for new companies to make Columbus home. Investing in streets and sidewalks make our community healthy, safe, and strong, and better for business. Investing in our city facilities allow us to provide better service more efficiently and at a lower cost. The capital budget is a unique opportunity to both generate new income tax dollars and to save existing revenue while improving the quality of life that makes Columbus such a great place to live and do business. It is important, and I know some of you get tired of me recognizing the people of Columbus, but just 4 years ago, we didn't have a capital budget. The only money we spent investing back into neighborhoods in 2009 was federal stimulus dollars for resurfacing. The people of Columbus chose the future back in 2009, and as the mayor mentioned today, a $380 million investment just this year will be made back into the neighborhoods, back into our community, back into our city, because the people of Columbus chose the future. We're grateful to them for that. For that investment, not just for our families of today, but our families of tomorrow, and it's something we can never take for granted. Columbus continues to maintain the highest credit rating of any city our size in the country, which is the testament to the strong fiscal management of our city auditor, Hugh Dorian, Mayor Coleman, and City Council.
That was Council President Ginther. Now here's Mayor Mike Coleman.
This year, our capital budget is a great budget for neighborhoods, because we'll be spending $380 million in neighborhood projects to help rebuild the city in all kinds of ways. And each council member will talk about here today the things that they have pushed to be in that capital budget to make sure that the city of Columbus is even better. This year we'll have the VAP program, which we promised to tear down vacant and abandoned properties. We'll have 300 of them torn down by the end of the year. We're setting aside another $2.5 million this year. In Franklinton, we said we're going to bring that back and bring it back in a dramatic way. At my State of the City, we announced the Columbus Idea Factory, and we're also going to begin the transformation of the infrastructure with two-way streets in Franklinton, the two big streets, and all kinds of things in the amount of $2.1 million. American Edition, is an area that was once a thriving neighborhood back in the 30s and the 40s and 50s in the heart of the city of Columbus, and had 200 families there. And over time, it declined to about 50 or less, even less than that. And so we have made the commitment to bring back American Addition. It's an area that has been an historically African-American neighborhood that has declined, and now we're bringing it back, and we're going to invest $7.6 million to build the infrastructure that was never built in the first place in that neighborhood, both above ground and below ground, with a total reconstruction to allow for 150-plus new homes in the area once it's fully built out. We're very proud of these initiatives. And you can't do anything without city council. And they have made a commitment, and they're going to talk about what they've pushed for in this budget, and they've done a great job in putting neighborhoods first and the quality of life of our people first.
That was Mayor Mike Holman. One by one, council members talked about their capital budget priorities with the media. Let's begin with Councilmember Tyson, the chair of the Finance Committee.
Good morning, and thank you, Andy, and good morning, Mayor. And I am really pleased that we are remodeling Maryland Pool, because growing up in Columbus, I lived on the Near East Side, and I used to go to Maryland Pool to swim. And that was a long, long, long time ago, and that pool has not been upgraded since then. So I am really pleased that this is one of the capital budget projects that will happen this year. And so I want to say good morning to each and every one of you who are here, who decided to join us on this rainy February morning. But the sun is shining in here with these bright lights. Just a great day to be able to roll out the capital budget. The capital budget priorities that the mayor has stated and that the council members will share with you today symbolize our investment and commitment to improving the quality of life of all of our Columbus residents. The priorities that you will soon hear reflect the importance of building better communities and improving the business climate in Columbus. For us, it's quite simple. It's about A, jobs, B, safety, C, neighborhoods, which all of that contributes to and equals to an exceptional quality of life. And now we will share with you our priorities for the 2013 capital budget. I'll start with mine. Last year, during the capital budget rollout, I focused on my commitment to improving access to health care and eliminating disparities on the South Side. Since that time, we've made significant improvements in our facility at Columbus Public Health, which last year saw over 12,000 people each month. I'm also happy to announce that with community and corporate support, we broke ground this year on the John Maloney Health and Wellness Center, which will be located on South Parsons and is well on its way to opening this year. This year, my priorities will continue to focus on quality of life through the issues of my support of health and human services and workforce development initiatives. And this will be achieved by renovating and expanding the Reeves School, which is part of the Southern Gateway Initiative. The Reeves School is a 45,116 square foot former school building, which will be reused to coordinate the delivery of educational, employment, health care, social services, and economic development. This partnership between the city and social service agencies and the private sector will improve the health and economic strength of this community. So transforming the Reeve Elementary School, it's a $3.5 million investment of private partners and over $5 million from the City of Columbus. This will be the new home of the Southside Learning Center and the Community Development for All People and the Southside Pride Center. Again, this is a public-private partnership that I'm very excited to participate and make this a priority. And now I would like to introduce Councilmember Eileen Paley, who is Chair of Public Service and Transportation and Public Utilities Committees, to discuss how her priorities will continue to make our city safe and strong. Councilmember Paley.
Thank you, Councilmember Tyson. Strong and safe neighborhoods begin with sound infrastructure like roads and sidewalks. As the mayor mentioned, in the next 2 years, the City of Columbus will be investing in some $65 million for street resurfacing projects in our neighborhoods. This is significant because for many years, the city simply did not have the dollars to keep up with resurfacing projects. But thanks to the leadership of Mayor Michael Coleman, Mr. Dorian, and Council, the resources are now in place to move forward with these projects. Last year, I joined neighborhood leaders on Fairwood Avenue as we reopened a significant portion of the roadway, complete with new sidewalks, curbs, and sewers. It is great to see firsthand how these projects improve the quality of life in our communities and neighborhoods. As important as these resurfacing projects are, building of ADA ramps so all residents and visitors can safely move around our community is also important. This is a project that has been a priority of mine for many years, and I'm happy to see the dollars being set aside in the capital improvement plan to make these needed safety improvements. This priority came up after a roundtable discussion with the Council for Disabilities. City Council is interested in what our community has to say about our city and the citizens' needs. So thank you all very much. And now here's Councilmember Mills, the Chair of Public Safety and the Judiciary Committee. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Councilmember Paley. I am proud to say that just about a year and a half ago, the mayor and I stood in the hilltop and installed the first of our neighborhood safety cameras. And I'm here to share with you today that that is a priority for our capital budget in adding additional cameras in our neighborhoods. It's important to all of the other capital projects that you hear about today because the pools cannot be visited unless our children are safe and traveling to them. And the other part of it is that during the time that we've had cameras, they have certainly helped us in capturing crimes such as robberies, drug deals, drug use, and prostitution. The cameras has aided us in recovery of weapons, which you know is very important not only in our community but in communities throughout the nation. The recovery of weapons from our street and identification of criminals has been where our safety cameras have been extremely useful. The safety cameras are not a silver bullet, but they are a part of the toolbox that our Division of Police will continue to use to provide a great and safe neighborhoods throughout the City of Columbus. The community buy-in is critical to this project, and we look forward to continuing to work with our neighborhoods to identify additional neighborhoods and where these cameras will be placed. I'm very proud to say that my office and public safety department, the mayor and I, will continue to work in identifying additional locations to improve the safety for our great citizens. As I introduce Councilmember Troy Miller, the Chair of Technology and Small and Minority Business Communities, he will talk with you again about his capital priorities that will play a role in helping keep Columbus safe and creating jobs in our neighborhoods. Councilmember Miller.
Thank you, Councilmember Mills. One of the ways we get images from the cameras to our police substations and command center is with fiber connections. Aside from safety applications, the City of Columbus has always viewed fiber as an economic development tool. Technology firms and city departments require fiber for faster work applications. Where there is fiber, you can have jobs. Now, fiber is good for the body, but the fiber I'm talking about is wire connections and optical fiber. In this city year's capital budget, Columbus is working to complete a more robust fiber network. The project will focus on moving fiber into more Columbus neighborhoods. Now, it is my pleasure to bring to the podium Councilmember Zach Klein, chair of the Recreation Parks Committee.
Well, good morning, everyone. And I tell you, as I listen to all of the improvements and investments that we're making in the city of Columbus, I can't help but feel how fortunate we are, Mayor, as a city, where other cities are cutting and making very difficult decisions about letting their infrastructure crumble. We're making significant investments in the people and the neighborhoods and the infrastructure in the city of Columbus because the people of the city of Columbus made that decision in 2009. Along those lines, the mayor mentioned the vacant and abandoned property initiative the City of Columbus has taken in conjunction with the City Council and the City Attorney's Office in tearing down the worst of the worst. But we've often accompanied that conversation with, once we tear down, we have to rebuild. And I'm proud to announce that on the west side of Columbus, we'll be investing $500,000 for qualifying homeowners to take money and invest it in their homes as part of rebuilding neighborhoods on the west side. We've seen it in the south side. We've seen it in Wineland Park. We've seen it on the Near East Side. And now we're taking the investment and shifting it to the west side to help strengthen and rebuild neighborhoods. In conjunction with that, we'll be at the end of this year, hopefully at the end of this year, start the phase one of the Camp Chase project on the west side, which will connect bike paths from downtown out to 270, as well as the renovation of $5.5 million renovation of the Westgate Recreation Center. So the City Council has heard the needs of the folks on the west side, and we're continuing our investments that started on the Near East Side and Wineland Park on the south side, and we're taking it out west to ensure that we have strong and safe neighborhoods in the city of Columbus. Thank you. Councilmember Tyson.
As you've heard from each of our council members and the mayor, we certainly are continuing to focus on safety, jobs, and neighborhoods. And so with that, we're going to talk about really the rest of our process. This is phase one of the process, the rollout. The next phase will be working with the administration. We'll have a hearing, and then our residents will be able to come and share their thoughts about these recommendations, as well as share with us any other areas that they think we may need to invest in order to continue to move our city forward. And so on Monday, March the 18th, we'll have the first budget reading of the capital budget. On March 20th, which is next Wednesday, March 20th, we will have our first public hearing on this budget. And our goal is then by April the 1st that we will pass this budget so that we can make these improvements in our community this year, as well as and get the dollars out to all those different businesses that will be working to make these improvements happen. And so with that, I want to say thank you. Again, I want to thank Al Edmondson for being here representing the neighborhood. I want to thank each of my council members, Council President Ginther, Council President Pro Tem A. Troy Miller, Council Member Michelle Mills, Council Member Zach Klein, and Council Member Eileen Paley. And I want to also mention that one of our council members is not here, Council Member Herschel Craig, because he's had a death in his family. And so with that, should you want to provide us with any other additional information from the listening and viewing audience, you can call any of our council members' offices and let us know their feelings about this capital budget. So again, thank you to the mayor, thank you to Auditor Dorian, and thank you to Paul Rakowski and all the other directors who have done a lot of great work in putting this budget together. And thank you to the staff of the council members who've also worked on the budget. Thank you very much.
The Nuisance Abatement Group, or NAG, is a collection of highly skilled men and women who work to make sure that local businesses are up to code and operate above board. Sergeant Stan Latta from the Columbus Division of Police explains who is in the NAG and how the group first got together.
It was really by more of a fluke in regards to a case that we were working back in June of 2004. And there was a bar on East Spring Street that went by Chrome, Fahrenheit. It's had several different names over time. And we had an informal meeting at that point with members from this type of group where representatives came in and we talked about a problem spot that was there with that bar, where that we got somewhat of a little bit of a bureaucratic runaround on trying to get information and other things. We brought the worker bees together. We talked about what was going on and what took place. But at the end of that meeting, something that none of us really expected. We started talking about other bars and other places that we had common denominators in, that we all had a certain stake in the course of our job, but now we had other people we could communicate with from that same type of aspect of looking at how, on these problem locations, we could attack them and try to get them right. So I came up with a catchy name of Nuisance Abatement Group, or NAG, which is kind of what we do, is nagging them, trying to get them right, and not trying to put someone out of business, but to try to fix the problems that are created and cause problems for the public and the safety and health of other of people that, you know, use these type of liquor establishments, both carryouts and bars and nightclubs. So with that being said, I mean, we have a shared interest. The group includes both police and fire, health, code enforcement, licensing, the city attorney's office, and I can say Mr. Pfeiffer has been instrumental in this from the very beginning on that side of things and been very encouraging. And then the Ohio Investigative Unit, which some people think of as liquor control or what's charged out of the state, those agents typically come out and join us as well, but I don't think anyone's here from that group tonight, but they're just as important. Under the Nuisance Abatement Code on Columbus City Code 4701, the purpose of this code is to protect the public's health, safety, and welfare and to prevent the blighting of the city's neighborhoods. Well, that's exactly what we do. Our goal is to try to get them right. If they don't want to listen to the orders or the suggestions that we make to try to make these places a better establishment and to run a clean establishment, then we go through the city attorney's office to try to, if necessary, to file charges or whatever's necessary to either put them right or prosecute them as deemed necessary. It's been an effective oversight of all liquor permit premises. Our main thing is we look at public safety and health, food and smoking violations, structural type of issues, code violations, liquor violations, and drug paraphernalia. When I say drug paraphernalia, a lot of these are the pipes and other things, and I'll show you some pictures later that a lot of these carryouts sell. But we're an effective response to complaints at these spots as well, and each member has a stake in regards to bringing up what spots need to be inspected and what places we're going to look at. We typically do 5 bars or nightclubs a month and 5 carryouts or drive-throughs. We typically do them at alternate times of the day because the carryouts are open more during the daytime hours and the nightclubs are open later at night. So we've tried to limit the amount of times that we do this, not to be a drain upon normal work or work assignments that people have so that they fall behind on other areas. So we've limited the amount of time that we do, but at the time that we spend, we're very effective. Each of us go in, we do our own type of inspection, we look at what's right or what's wrong, and at that point, we issue orders or suggestions or whatever to the person in charge or the manager that's there. Any also special requests from any participating agencies, and this has created a pretty good if I have a problem somewhere, even if it's not a NAG situation, I can now, you know, call up someone from health or call up someone from fire or whatever. So it's kind of created that little networking that we also have that's been a byproduct of this. Some of the success stories are the McGuffey Market at Hudson and McGuffey. I can remember, you know, we went in there. It was one of the first places that we went into. Continuous calls for service for the police department. We went in, the health department found some issues that they were able to address, where that they had some antifreeze and other things stored over top of food items. They shut them down for several days. Well, that got their attention. Even though we were looking at, you know, gang members and other people hanging out there, it created a type of an environment where that the manager of that store wanted to work with us and not against us. The Express Market, which is at 5th and Peters, same type of thing where that they had a number of things, and Greg Davis from Code had some issues there. He brought it up. And we had a pretty good success story out of there as well. Zeno's Bar, I'm sure you folks have all, you know, had different things or comments or other things from that at 3rd Michigan. We've done real well there. And the little bar that's up on campus and the Martini Park Bar that was at Easton. These are all success stories that I think, you know, we did real well on being able to tackle the problems that were brought up and addressed by other members of the group. Couple pictures. This is from just a few months ago, the New Doran Market over on the west side. A couple of things inside from several of these different markets. This wasn't at the New Doran Market, but at some of the synthetic marijuana and some of the things that we've encountered in the past out of our inspections. These are the drug type of paraphernalia, and Officer Brown is not here right now from the police vice section that normally goes out on these, but he has what we like to call a good neighbor speech, where he tries to talk about the morality of whether they're selling this to their kids or other people. And a lot of these places have chosen now not to sell this or not to make this a part of you know, their normal store activities. This is some just old water that's in the bottom of a cooler that is not only a health situation, but it's just absolutely disgusting to think, you know, you're going to get a bottle like that. But these are the type of things that we see on somewhat of a semi-regular basis. Sawed-off rifle that was inside of a store right up off of Cleveland and Weber. This is a food inspection, and you can see Mike Thiel in there that's here with our group. And this is an electrical outlet where it didn't have the proper cover. It's up close to the ceiling. You can see where it's leaking water on some of the ceiling tiles. You think about what type of an environment. And I think we just had the 10th anniversary of the situation that happened with the Great White over in New Hampshire or something out of that. I don't know how many of these situations that we may have prevented just by giving that type of notice, or not only the structural damage, but possibly lives or other things just by this type of action that we've taken. This is a broom or like a dustpan that's in front of a doorway where if they did have an emergency, they'd never be able to exit where it's blocked. And this is Officer Colopy speaking with an individual about some alarm fees. And he had told me just the other day that he collected $10,700 last year of monies that they wouldn't have thought they would have collected, and approximately $50,000 of money back into the city revenue since they started with our group about 4 years ago. And just Friday night, a couple nights ago, I think he collected almost $6,000 on monies that were owed, and there were some additional fees that are still due. So this is working real well, and even in regards to the enforcement side of collecting license fees. And then this is an individual where Officer Brown has given the good neighbor speech about drug paraphernalia. It's a grinder used to grind up marijuana. And then basically last year, just some numbers, we had 114 inspections, 412 citations or orders to repair, 386 warnings, and then the liquor license objections that you folks heard in December that we voted on. We assisted with all those inspections and all the things related to that. So with that said, I think Commander Cameron wants to make a word.
President Gitter, Chairperson Mills, members of council, thank you for this opportunity to be in front of you today. It's my honor to be up here with them. They certainly are deserving of all of your recognition. I wanted to point out one thing, though, which I think is important here, is that what they have created amongst themselves is a model program for other cities to follow. I think it's through their effectiveness working collaboratively, they are actually saving the city resources and keeping our communities safer for our residents. So, and I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that this is a bit of a bittersweet moment. I have to just announce, if he'll let me, that after 10 years of service to the vice section and to the NAG group, Sergeant Latta is moving on and progressing his career forward to become a detective in the crime scene search unit. So I just wanted to personally also thank him for his 10 years of service.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's callthe@columbus.gov. And don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.